It's another Stay Tuned episode. We are back once again. I am here, Mr. Turn Your Wifey Into My Waifu, because I need somebody to emotionally cuddle with, aka the host with the most. I'm bringing it back on this one special occasion because, damn, this podcast definitely is about to be a special occasion.
Real special. Real, real special. Did you say your name, though?
Oh, yeah, my name.
Who are you?
Shit, I should have gotten to that. Yeah,
no, tell them.
Great point, man.
Let them know.
Why does this happen damn near every intro, too?
They love you. They want to hear from you.
Hey, man, my name is Johnny. You know, get at me at my name, JonyKuriian, on any social media platform, because my name is my motherfucking name.
His name is his name. You know the voice. It's the Okage, the village in the leaves, the commander of the scout regiment, the king of the pirates, commissioner of the CCG, principal of the Hero Academy, captain commissioner of the Guy 13, and the general of the Red Ribbon Army, Pai Picasso, Kakashi Hatake, Jiraiya Sensei, Nathaniel Jackson. Another episode of Stay Tuned. We have a special guest today. It's not one of the Stay Tuned family, but she's family to us because she's a guest. And when you're a guest, you're part of the family now. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I feel so disappointed that I wasn't prepared with like a long list of things that I would like people to call me.
You don't have to. You don't have to. People call
just
you by your name.
Just
no, we just weird and just have mad titles for ourselves. We're just that egotistical.
You know, guys, straight out of Game of Thrones, though.
I was about to say that.
Straight up. You are.
You gotta be the queen of something.
My name is Dylan, but I expect to be back so I can be prepared with a very long list of, if I was in Game of Thrones, this is what people would call me.
Hell yeah.
I'm gonna be, I'll be more prepared next time.
That's a great idea, and I like it. I respect that. But yeah, we got Dylan with us today, and Dylan is very, very smart. So smart.
I'm a girl, too. I have a boy's name, but I'm a girl, which just make sure that's understood.
Hey, she a female. Hey, round of applause for having our first real female guest on this network.
We needed one.
Dylan is very, very smart. She is currently studying for her bar exam right now. You know what I mean? She finna kill that. We got a bunch of positive energy going her way. And because she's doing that, and because she's so knowledgeable, we had to give y'all a special Stay Tuned episode to just talk about what's going on right now with current events. Because, yo, society is fucking wilding right now.
All over the place. We were going to start with this Mueller report shit, and then we realized that all of us are staying as far away as possible to it because, to be honest, this shit is terrible for your health. But no pun intended to stay tuned with all this shit because, son, this shit is so fucking draining to stay with. It's nothing but negativity. You never know what's actually the truth anymore because you have one person saying one thing and the actual president of the United States saying a complete other thing, and you just don't know. What the fuck's going on anymore?
You have one people saying something, other people saying other things, and sometimes they're not even related. Like, people are just saying things, so you can't even keep up. Like, they're saying things. They might not have anything to do with it, but they're gonna talk, and then that just makes it even, like, it sucks to start with. And then on top of that, it's confusing.
It's nothing but confusing.
That's so
true. So I'm just out. I'm out on the Mueller report. I've had enough.
That actually goes to one of my main fucking complaints about what's going on now, because it seems like, and this is leading with the politicians and the news right now, it's they're making all of this a fight. They're like, it's a race to be the most polarizing figure and on TV right now. It's just,
it's not even just that they're trying to make it a fight. They're trying to make it their fight.
Yeah.
Kind of like what Dylan was saying from before. I just feel like we have a bunch of like pundits now trying to like somehow socially associate themselves to the people that they're talking to, like in really, really weird ways. And I'm saying this generally throughout the media, like even just like ESPN, like reporters' relationships with like certain athletes and stuff like that, or like, you know, certain media members saying that like, I used to like work under this president or this like congressperson, and like people just feel like they're the voices of other people that they don't even necessarily represent or are associated with. So it's just like egotistical like battles happening in real time. And I think, you know, we've talked about this on several occasions on this specific like series of podcasts, which is that the internet has made society a very weird place, because there's the reality as we see it in real time, and then there's just digital reality, right? Like, whether it's social media or any website in general, especially in terms of advertisements, like how people make advertising money off of like really quick like Instagram snippets or like TikToks and stuff like that. Like, because of that, people have to be very, very attention grabbing for like 15 to 30 seconds. So they end up jumping out the window,
yeah,
saying the most extreme shit about a regular ass topic. And then we just end up getting polarizing behavior, which leads to just people being split and divided all the time. Like, it doesn't feel real right now. There's just wild shit happening every day that we got to be like, all right, I guess that's happening.
How do you fix that, though? Because it seems like you have to be polarizing to get votes.
I don't think it can be fixed. I think a big part of it, too, is a confirmation bias, because people believe what they want to believe to start with, and then they see something that confirms what they already think, and they're like, yes, I'm right, this person is right, everyone else is wrong. And it's just, I don't think it can be fixed. I don't really know where to go but down from the way people are now, because I don't know if you've talked to anyone that's like 18 or 19 recently, but I have younger siblings, and they are scary people. They believe everything they see on the internet.
Well, all their whole reality has been the internet. The people who are 18, 19, since they've really been like conscious of their surroundings, Twitter and all that stuff, that's been their reality. So that's where they get their facts from. Facts are from like whatever the people that they look up to are saying on Twitter. And anybody is tweeting this shit.
Well, okay, let me ask you guys this, because I feel like, and this is what a lot of other sociologists and stuff are saying, we technically are the beginning of Gen Z. So like people our age, like us three, like we're the beginning of Gen Z, all the way down to like 16 year olds and stuff like that. So this is our generation. Yeah. We technically were the beginning of the internet. We lived through and grew up with social media, believe it or not. Like, we always put that on like 18 year olds and stuff like that, but we're like, we also gotta hold that as well. How do you guys feel about seeing the transformation of social media and seeing how the presence of social media has affected society?
Well, I'm older than you apparently, because I am a millennial. So keep the social media to yourself. I'm not a Gen Z. But
you don't identify as Gen Z?
They were eating Tide Pods, so I'm going to have to. I'm not on a Gen Z.
They're different. I'm telling you, they're different.
Listen, I'll say my age. I was born in 1995, and apparently that's the beginning.
Yeah, I was born in 94. So, you all right. Good luck. All right, good luck. With
she's different.
Kitties.
You young folk.
No. Really... But yeah, the thing with social media is it's so influencing in every single way. Like with politicians turn straight to social media. With all these people that are on YouTube, they're influencing everyone and everything with social media. It's kind of a crazy world that any single thing you can think of, cars, sports, politics, like, it's all social media influenced, which is, it's just a wild tool to me that exists.
Yeah, I think social media just shows the connections of just how people socially use stuff. Like, for example, if somebody's like a really good car salesman, then they'll end up taking really nice pictures of their cars. Like, just that's what good car salesmen would do for advertising, right? So then if you just, where do you post those pictures at? Like, obviously there's a social media platform designated for that. Instagram, boom. Like right there now, like literally all the stuff you do on Instagram is now going to be associated with that picture of that car, which could potentially lead that salesman to like another sale. So it's just like weird. I feel like, but it's always existed like that. You know what I mean? Like in that example, that salesman was always going to take a picture of that car. But it's the fact that we have all of this information so easily accessible and we see how it connects. People, going back to what you were saying with confirmation bias, like people see one specific route or one connection and then just like make an assumption like, oh, this guy's the best car salesman. Even though they don't even know if that's true or not, they just believe it because that information was easily accessible and present at that time. So they just naturally make that connection.
I think it also creates impulsivity problems, especially, I don't know, maybe this is just me, but with Instagram, like, you can click on something and you can buy it straight from Instagram, which is...
Yeah, that's dangerous.
It is.
That's
it so is. Dangerous. I buy stuff all the time. People will link things to Amazon and I'm like, oh my God, I need that dog water bowl that's also a fountain that he can drink out of. Let me just buy it from Instagram. And I'll do it all the time. Like a water bowl that's a fountain. You know, like you can get...
That's
a fountain.
Flex.
Like a fondue water bowl?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
You can buy and click anything from Instagram. And it just like creates such an impulse problem because it's so easy to do. And I know I can't be the only one.
No, well, I do all the time. Especially because they take... Especially Instagram and Facebook and all that, where they're watching all of your data and using that to cater your ads and everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's all gonna be shit that you actually want. It's only gonna get more and more like that way.
I guarantee you're gonna have a dog fountain water bowl show up on like your Facebook feed or something.
One. Yeah, that's so true. Like probably once we like post this episode, I'm just randomly gonna see it.
It for sure will. It happens every time.
The algorithms, man.
Oh my god. What do you, does that scare you? Because they're 100% listening to your microphones 24/7. Like, what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's terrifying. It's terrifying, right? Is it not?
It is.
It definitely depends on what you sign up for. That could very well be true. If you sign up for anything that's just like allows you to use their microphone, like they're gonna use your microphone.
Yeah.
It's crazy what people like agree to in terms of like terms and conditions, like on the App Store and like just downloading all of this stuff. I don't think if the Cambridge Analytica stuff actually happened, like all if that shit never happened, I think people would have been completely ignorant. Like, I definitely wasn't paying attention prior to that.
I think there are still people who think that they aren't listening.
Yeah.
Because I've heard people say, nobody's listening. Like, are you kidding me? They hear everything you say. Every single word that comes out of your mouth is somewhere. Someone hears it. So they probably don't, they're not hearing it in real time, but it's like, it's existing.
Even if it is, even if it honestly is, it's up to them to decide that. Like, we're still, at the end of the day, they still listen to it and they do what they want with whatever they hear.
Yeah, it's always going to come back to bias. Like, and that's the thing, like, I can't run from that. I guess I was mentioning earlier, I was trying to run from at the beginning of the podcast. It is inevitable, though, like Thanos, bro. Bias is going to come at you from any direction, in every direction. So at the end of the day, we have to still pay attention to it, especially when it influences government. Like, you can't tell me that all three branches of our government are unbiased. I don't think there's a single branch of our government actually in the year 2019 that is unbiased.
People, I don't think you can necessarily ask for anything different. You can ask for transparency.
I think people can have coordinated agendas though. 100%. At certain times, it might not necessarily work or execute, and that'll lead to different events and stuff like that. But I think it's possible, and it always tries to happen. Whether it's successful or not is the moment humanity recognizes it, though.
Wait, so you do or you don't think they're biased?
I think all three of them are. I think there's bias in everything, yeah. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
They are, 1,000,000% they're biased. Yeah. They've been biased since day one. It's not 2019. It's like it's humans.
Exactly.
Like, all the branches are made up of humans, and humans are inherently biased.
That's what I'm saying.
For sure.
They're just, like, giant groups of people who are biased about the same shit.
Yeah. Which, again, like I was saying, I don't think you could ask for better, because, like I said, that's humans. At the end of the day, what I'm asking for is transparency. I think we're just so far into this fucking whatever this shit turned into, a game or whatever it is, where you got to act a certain way or cater to whatever extreme or bias to get people's attention, to get whatever you want out of the public. Where, like, it's almost the one takeaway that I can really agree with Trump during his first campaign was the whole drain the swamp thing, because what he was specifically talking about, lobby.
Oh, the concept of that was makes
it's
so much
sense. So fucking needed. Because, like, his context, he's talking more about lobbyists being in all the politicians' pockets and everything like that. But it kind of translates across the board as far as fucking.
And he weirdly had evidence at the time.
He did.
He literally was just like, yo, Democratic politician, Goldman Sachs. Like, literally, you could see the bank visits and how much they paid.
He called him out.
Like, oh shit.
Those
paid speeches.
Hillary's speeches were just ridiculous. How much he was getting paid just to talk to banks and shit.
But at the same time, I think people got distracted with. It's easy to point at the other side and just be like, the grass isn't green over there. Or, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To just be like, if you constantly can distract somebody with somebody else's flaws, then it gives you the opportunity to not be noticed about what's going on with yourself. You know what I mean? And he executed on that very, very well, because the man had not had any political experience from before. So, like, it just conceptually, that's wild that we elected somebody to a very powerful position that didn't have any experience from before.
Yeah, but
on the surface,
he executed well as far as getting what he wanted out of it, but it didn't help.
Oh, campaigning? Oh, fuck yeah.
He still, the way he used it was still driving more division and not really helping any situation.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Trump got the result that he wanted? That is to say, do you think he wanted to win the election?
I don't know. The man, I don't know. He's a real believer in himself. I think he knew all along that he was going to win. I don't think he would do it. Because he's so about winning. I don't think someone who wants to win,
that's true,
would have done it had he thought, oh, I might.
He talked about running like on multiple occasions before that too. So like the fact that he did it and it happened, like,
it's wild.
That's interesting.
It's wild. Yeah. It's a crazy time in history. Like, what a time to be alive, right?
Every day it's something new. Every day it's just something that we've never done before. Something that could have like catastrophic, drastic effects if one decision goes right or wrong. And I don't know.
And I think generally, like, although it was crazy that he's the president, that he got elected, I don't think, and the this is just my opinion, I'm not saying I'm right, is that I don't think he's done anything really crazy since he's been in office either.
Oh, in terms of actually doing? Not at all. No. I think the things that he said, the craziest thing that he's done is this trade war with China, which on compared to other crazy things that people do like every day, I don't think is great. It has huge repercussions and effects, but in terms of what he's doing, those are just trade negotiations. So like that's not really crazy as a concept, as an idea. But it's just the things he says that we kind of gravitate to.
Yeah, man has no filter. Not at all.
Yeah.
But that's nice because, like you said, you want transparency. And I don't think you've had there's ever been a more transparent president, because that man, true, like, he thinks it and it comes out.
Yep.
Like, it's completely transparent, in my opinion.
I don't know. I still feel like even him, he's still doing that just to keep his name up and keep his fan base staying with him so he can get those votes later on.
I think he has to do it now to survive, though. Like, I feel like if Trump even gets away from what has made him Trump for a split second, this all falls apart.
Oh, for sure.
Because he's such a risk taker.
I think from the jump, he's been saying crazy shit on purpose to keep his name up. Like, he knows. Everybody's always been talking about Trump. And I think that's always been his goal. And not necessarily, I don't think it's about necessarily transparency. I think it's about getting people to talk about him.
And everyone's doing it, whether you like him or not.
Yeah.
Everyone's
we are right now.
Yeah, I think that was his goal with the whole saying something crazy every freaking week.
Working.
It is working.
Do we think he's going to be reelected?
It's not the one that I would prefer, but I think it's the most likely scenario.
Do you think there's anybody, at least 45 Democratic candidates, that can beat him?
I think it's like 23 right now.
There might as well have been 100.
That's ridiculous. No, I don't. Completely regardless of policy, I don't. It's not that I don't think anyone is qualified. I think it's that because there's so many candidates, they're really going to split the Democratic Party. Like, you're going to have people voting everywhere, and they're not going to have enough for one person.
No, they're not.
I just don't think it's possible. And they're going to pick the wrong person. I'm sure of it. Because had they picked Bernie Sanders or I don't remember the other. I see like 3% of the vote. Had they picked someone decent that wasn't Hillary Clinton, they would have won. She was just the worst candidate in the history of the world.
Yeah, the worst matchup.
She really, really fumbled it.
That's the way the Democrats got to see this if they want to win. They got to think about the campaign matchup. Like, in the finals, like, not to bring this back to sports, but, like, it's literally got to be, like, how are you going to take out?
And then the people who wanted to vote for Bernie, they were, like, all for him. They didn't vote for Hillary because she kind of just, like, turned on him. And I think the same thing is going to happen again, because you're going to come down to Bernie Sanders, probably Joe Biden. And
I think it's going to be Joe Biden.
Buttigieg. Yeah. I don't know. Because he's young. He's young, he's attractive, he's charismatic when he talks to people, and I think he has a really good chance. Bernie Sanders is just a freaking lunatic, in my opinion. I think he's completely lost his mind.
I think, in theory, if we lived in a fantasy world, like, yes, like, it's what we should strive for, ideally, when we wake up. But, like, it's not actually practical, like, any of that stuff.
I have a hard disagreement with that. I don't strive for any of his policies. I think he's a lunatic. I think he's basically a glorified communist, and that shit is wild to me.
What about his policies, I guess, like, would you define to be the most communist? Like, universal healthcare?
Universal healthcare, free college. If you combine those two, like, that's communism right there. That's all it is. And I just have such a problem with giving everything out for free. Like, that's just insane.
Do you feel like people
will
become lazy from that?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. Because there are people right now who can work, but they can make more money on welfare. So why would they work when they could just sit at home and get money for free from the government? And that, it's just what it's going to do. It's going to create more lazy people. And here's my best example is when I was an undergrad, I studied abroad in Cuba. And when I was there, you know, they're a communist country. And when I was there, our taxi driver was actually an electrical engineer. But he made more money being a taxi driver because the tax rates are so high for people who make money, obviously, that he just makes more money from tourism and being a taxi driver than being an engineer. And in my opinion, like, that's just dangerous for, like, humanity's sake, because you have all these smart people, like, the smartest people, being taxi drivers. I mean, you know, he could be an engineer. He could be finding medicine. He could be finding cure for cancer. But instead, he's freaking driving a bus because he makes more money. And I think the same thing will happen.
So, wait. I have a quick question. Like, in Cuba, taxi drivers get paid more than engineers because the government, like, pays them more?
So, basically there, the government gives them kind of, like, basically a ration of an amount of money every month. But he made money from tips from Americans coming and being in Cuba, and he would make more from his tips than his wage would have been as a taxi driver, or as an engineer, which is just...
Are there no private companies allowed in Cuba? Is the government, like, the only place that you can get an electrical engineering job?
So, whenever I was there, I believe it was still like that. That's how it was. But, or no, right when I was getting there, they were starting to open up a private sector. Like, the private sector in Cuba is brand new. It had not existed under Fidel Castro. Under Raul, they were, like, opening up the private sector. And now that the Castro regime is over, I hope that for Cuba's sake and for America's sake, being so close, that they would open up a private sector and allow that, like, that whole thing to grow. Because, you know, having a private sector and a growing economy can do so much for that country. And I just, right. I think it's beneficial for the United States and for Cuba if that would happen. So hopefully, you know, it's been a really strained relationship in the past, but I think there's a lot of room to grow and opportunity for both countries.
Yeah, that'd be amazing to see both those countries kind of, like, mend their relationships. That's interesting, though. So to go back to, like, the idea of, like, communism, do you feel like if we were to entertain, I guess, like, more extreme liberal, like, try to implement more extreme liberal policies like that, or even entertain them, that we could possibly land in a society where we wouldn't have any competition, like, within America?
I mean, realistically, no. I think we're already too far into capitalism that I just don't think that's ever possible.
Oh, right. It's definitely not possible.
I mean, maybe they'll entertain them, but I just, like, I don't think that's ever a realistic possibility.
Yeah.
For where we are as a nation and for how much our economy thrives on competition, I just don't think it's possible.
I agree.
But I'm not an economist. I don't know. I don't actually know anything about anything when it comes to that. This is just my opinion.
I think that's the right opinion, though, like, at least on that. And because of that, I always feel like I never want to pay attention to party, but more like policy. So that's why it goes back to, like, what I was saying about in an ideal world, like, it would be nice if people, if they were sick, they could go see their doctor and be healthy. So, like, ideally, that'd be great. Like, I feel so I want to live in a world where I try to think or support policies that might be able to build to that. So that's why I never try to, like, associate it with party. But the reason why I don't think universal healthcare is an available option now is because financially that wouldn't make any sense given how insurance works, how the government works with, like, hospitals and stuff like that, and then, like, hospitals themselves and, like, all the work that has to go within that. I think implementing that is way too hard and people would get too greedy about that. But I never like associating, like, things like education or healthcare or even, like, you know, freedom of religion, freedom of speech with, like, certain parties. I just like to look at policies.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
For sure. I think it's easier if you can, like, as a person, like, your values and what you understand
exactly,
and you don't have to fault, like, I think before I started law school I was heavily conservative. Like, I basically, I don't want to say I was blind, because I think I've always done kind of my own research, but I was very much on the right side, like, right wing. But as I went through law school and I've grown as an individual, I think I kind of fall into, like, a more libertarian category, basically, because I understand my values. Not that I'm a part of this party and I think I need to conform to these values, but just as a human, understanding, like, other people in other situations and seeing other things, I think everyone should really take a step back and just, you know, think about, like, what do I believe in?
Yes.
Whether that be on abortion, whether it be on taxes, like, what do you believe in as a person? And then, you know, you might not fall squarely, you're not going to fall squarely within either party, but I think that's the problem, going back to the polarization, is that it's so hard. How do you pick a party when they're both crazy, right?
Exactly.
It's so far on each end.
That and the average person is not going to look into all the shit you looked into to form their own opinions. The average person is like, yo, you know what you're talking about, tell me what to believe. And the, whichever one sounds better to them, it's like, all right, I'm all on that side, or I'm all on that side, because they're not gonna. That's a lot of work you're talking about, which you should do, and especially nowadays, people don't form their own opinions anymore. They look for what to believe from people that.
And when there's only two options, it's so simple to be like that, because there's literally only two options. It's like binary at that point. It's like yes or no. Like it's like on or off. Like you're literally, it's gonna force people to choose a side. Literally, it's difficult because we have a two-party system, and like because of that, I want to ask you guys, do you think a two-party system is the most ideal version of, I guess, like exchanging like politics or policies? And then a second question is, do you guys feel like America could ever change from a two-party system, given how crazy things are now?
I definitely think it could change. I definitely think it does need a change. That's why I thought that it was so important for me to vote for Gary Johnson last election, just to get that third party the numbers it needs to get at least get the next debates for next election, at least to get in the system, just get out of this fucking two party system, because there's no fixing that if staying with this. I don't see how you can.
But what's the alternative to a two party system?
I don't know.
Because I don't know. I don't have a problem with the two party system. I have a problem with like the polarization that it's gotten to.
Exactly.
And I think an even bigger issue than the polarization is that people, like, I have my opinions and I'm going to tell you my opinion, but I know that that doesn't make me right. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. And I think a lot of times people will believe things and they have their opinion and that's their truth, so they think it's the truth.
Yeah.
Everyone else is wrong.
There's so much danger.
Like, I have my opinions. Yeah.
And but it can change.
I know what my truth is. Yeah, and it can change. And I don't think I'm right just because that's what I believe.
Yeah. And that's like what you believe at that time, too. Yeah. Like, I hate the idea that, like, people aren't allowed to change opinions. Like, I learned more information about this topic. I talked to more people. And, like, now I believe this. And as long as you could explain the journey you went through,
yeah,
change your opinions, like, you shouldn't be like laughed out of the room to just be like, oh, yo, you a hater. This isn't sports teams, like, this is weird. Like, you should be able to have freedom of thought, for sure. Thank you for saying that, though. I feel like that never gets stressed enough, like, in general.
I think I had to learn that, though. Like, I really had to learn that. Just because I believe it, that doesn't make it right. Like, it's just, you know, everyone's entitled to opinion. I think it's because in law school, there's a lot of opinionated people. Like, they're all opinionated people. Mm-hmm. And once you start being around people who believe that they're 100% right, you just really have to realize that everyone's gonna have their opinion, and it doesn't make them right, and it doesn't make you right. It just is a thing.
Don't be married to it. Don't connect yourself emotionally to it. That's why people feel so strongly about the opinion and so strongly about not changing, because they're, for some reason, they became emotionally invested in it, which is so crazy to me.
Like, reasonable people will do that,
but they become unreasonable as soon as you get emotionally invested in it, because you can't talk to them, because as soon as you question it, you're questioning their whole belief system and their whole, it's becoming the same as arguing with a Christian about there not being a God to them. It's almost like you're saying that. It's like there's no Jesus to a Christian. And like they're reacting the same way as if I did that to him. It's like, you can't talk. There's no discussion in that. And there's no progress in that.
Okay, wait. Let me go back to this, because I was very interested when like Dylan was immediately just like, nah, I'm leaving Gen Z behind. Mm-mm. What was the first time both of y'all like ever made a face? Like, how old were you guys when you ever made like your first Facebook or like Twitter? Or I guess if you want to be in your millennial bag, I'll say MySpace.
Oh, MySpace.
You can get old with it. AIM. No. You can get the AOL Instant Messenger.
Oh, if we're talking like, AIM and MySpace was definitely a middle school.
Yeah, let's
MySpace
talk about it, bro. Because
okay,
we're
calm down.
To this
it's
shit.
Only
we're the OGs
year.
To this shit.
I was not allowed to have MySpace because my mother watched every single thing I did, and she was sure that like an old man would try to kidnap me or something, because that's just how she is.
That's what everybody thought back
so
then.
I was never on MySpace, but luckily for me, I have a cousin who is 1 year older than me, and her mom didn't care what she did, so I would get on her MySpace page all the time.
It's always the cousin with the personal care.
Hooking it up.
She was cool enough to let me, probably in junior high. And I made a Facebook, and I had to make a fake age on it, I think, too.
Yeah, I think
all
of us had
to. It's back to normal now.
Some people got locked out of their accounts because of their fake age. Like, I saw that happening to hella people
on
Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that, which is so funny. Like, because all of us were mad young when we made this stuff. Like, I'm telling you, all this stuff that those 16-year-olds are going through, you had a moment like that when you were 16. Like, we just not thinking about it because we just don't remember shit when we were 16. But it's happened. It's happened.
Okay,
we're
at the beginning of this shit. Was 16, I was not eating Tide Pods. That's all I have to say.
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, that's just dumbass current 16-year-olds. I could still make fun of a 16-year-old and still say they're in my age demographic.
I lived in a really small town, though, too. So when I was 16, I wasn't doing anything too crazy.
Oh, good for you. Bless your
soul. I've also always been like that, though. I was too scared to get in trouble. I was sure I wouldn't get caught. Because when I was in high school, I went to a party one time. I was a freshman in high school. And my dad found out. I don't know how my dad found out. But I got grounded for, like, 3 months. Oh, I was in so much trouble. Yeah. Bro. And it terrified me for the rest of my life. I'm a little better now, but I'm like almost 25, but for the rest of my high school, I was like, I can't do anything. I'll get in trouble. My dad will find out. And he always did. It was crazy how that works.
That's crazy.
I mean, he's been through that shit
probably
before. He knows.
I'm telling myself too.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows. You're a little him.
He might just know his kid, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
I didn't do anything crazy. I don't have any crazy stories from mostly ever in my life.
Mostly ever?
I'm not real wild.
Man, that's probably how you end up where the fuck you're at now, though. I'm a degenerate.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. We've been wasting our lives away.
Lord. Look, I fried so many brain cells, I have nowhere near a chance of getting anywhere near a bar exam.
I was actually
all those brain cells
thinking about this today. Yeah, I was thinking about today, about this podcast, and just, like, thinking back to when I was at ISU, and I remember going to a party at Rose, and I was looking for you and Sterling at the party, and I couldn't find you anywhere, and I found you. Basically, you were just, like, slumped over, sitting in a corner.
Oh, yeah.
Like, totally incoherent, and I was, like, talking to you, and you were just, like, basically nothing was happening.
Yeah, the brain cells left the door. Yeah, a while ago.
But me, this is a perfect example. I was there because I drove there, so I was completely sober at this party where everyone's having a great time, and I am so lame that I was like, I have to drive, so I can't drink.
Dylan, there's a purpose to this.
Certain parties. Also walking into certain parties, your shit is going on where you're like, what? Y'all are wilding. Like,
100%.
I've walked in the parties, somebody's just head-butted.
I never saw that happen, but
yeah, dude, just headbutted a whole wall, and just like he got to the other side, and somebody just had like tequila shots ready for him, and he was just like, "Yo, fucking feed it through." He was still in the wall, like through the wall, like. But that's just like another day, like at a certain
where did
house,
you see?
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, where did you see that at? Can you elaborate?
You know, I'm not gonna name no names of situations. I ain't gonna make it
okay,
hot for
later.
Nobody, but
nah, I'll name names. No, you'll see that. Dude, walk into ATO any day sober, you're gonna see that. On a Tuesday at 4 p.m. Deadass. I'm not exaggerating. Walk in there sober.
The craziest thing I ever did there was stole Chex Mix from the kitchen.
Damn, there was leftover Chex Mix?
I told you I'm not crazy. I was in the kitchen getting snacks at a party.
That's amazing, though, that there were snacks left over. Usually when people are fucked up, the food is gone immediately.
ATO was good
and
for
my
that.
My friend that I was with, she a little more wild than me, and she was stealing, like, you guys have, like, industrial size jars of, like, spices, and she was just snatching them up, carrying them outside.
Spices? Like, for her, like, apartment
like
or something?
Spices that you were, like, cook
just
with.
Walking out with Cajun pepper?
Yeah.
She went to grocery store.
The guys were trying to
just
stop her.
Just a pound
just
full
like,
of fucking pepper.
No. Yeah, basically.
She went to ATL and started grocery shopping. That's crazy.
And yeah, those are my wild times. There you have it.
Oh, speaking of
fun times.
I guess not wild times, but we're going to dump all of our female perspective questions on you probably because, like Johnny said in the beginning.
Yeah, we've been having years worth of this where we've just been saying shit about women we don't know.
Hit me with your questions.
So coming up, actually, you said it just a second ago, going through high school, you didn't really go out or anything like that. When did you really start talking to guys, like talking?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, when I was in high school, I had a boyfriend for 3 years. So, like, basically all of high school, same boyfriend.
Yep.
So lame of me. Should have never done that.
That's not like every girl.
No, yeah, it was lame. It was lame.
You think so?
I'll get there.
Yeah,
this is why it's so
lame. The first relationship's always the longest and the worst.
Yes,
it was the worst, too. Yeah. It was the worst, too. And you know, when you know it's okay, I have 2 points to this. One, I also had that boyfriend my first year of college. So stupid. I'm the biggest
the first
idiot
year
in the world
is
because
a mistake.
I respect you for trying, though.
Oh my god,
you innocent
no,
child.
I'm so lame. No, you don't have to. I was lame. I know. I've learned. But then, second, is that now that I'm like a lawyer, I graduated from law school and everything, this stupid boy from my hometown that literally like cheat on me every weekend is like trying to hit me up now.
Because he knows you got the bag. That's the only reason why.
He's trying to go big. He's such a loser too. He's already been married and divorced and everything. And I'm like, get out. Don't even speak to me.
How did he try to come back? What was his line? Like, what did he say?
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, Lord. So weak, man.
So dry.
And then he would be like, you can't come with that. You know what? I tried to be really nice. So I responded and I was like, hi, I'm doing really great. Congratulations. Because he had just gotten married. And then he like,
oh wow, wait, just got married and slid in the DMs.
Okay, this is what a skis he was. See, exactly, he literally just got married. So then I'm like, okay, that's gonna be the end of it. Like, I was nice, I replied, and then he's like, so how's your brothers, like, wanted to keep going. And I'm like, I ignore him. So then I'm not even done, he freaking like will do this thing where he like adds me on Snapchat and then deletes me and then adds me back and deletes me, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm not five.
Yeah, that's high school.
Go away. Anyway, we're done with that. So when I first started talking to boys, I wasn't allowed to go on a date until I was like 16.
I think that's healthy, honestly.
Same boyfriend forever.
Okay, so how was your first date like? Like, how was a girl's first date like?
From her perspective.
I don't know how it was like for me, but like.
Wait, first, before you go on a date, what do you expect out of a date with a guy? Not going into it.
Great question.
When I was 16?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it was so awkward. The guy that I went on a date with, I was a freshman in high school, and he was a senior in high school. That's so young.
Always older.
And my dad literally made him come to my house and talk to him so we could go to, like, the movies. How lame. So embarrassing now.
That's not embarrassing. That's what you should be doing. That's what you should be doing.
If I'm like a dad, I'm gonna be like that too. At least for the first day, I gotta set the tone. You know what I mean?
No.
Bad boys too.
Now you have to. Who the fuck is Reggie?
I might have Mike Lowry in the back. It's either gonna be Martin Lawrence or Sterles, but
Martin Lawrence or Sterles. Who the fuck is Reggie?
No. No.
Favorite shit.
It's just awkward. It's just weird when I was 16. But like, everything's weird when you're 16, right? Yeah.
When do you start having real expectations for just dating in general? Because I feel like for guys, as soon as guys start talking to girls and start going on dates, like, expectations are there, like, from the jump. Not necessarily sex or anything like that, but for guys, I feel like they're...
Oh, really?
Maybe we're just paranoid, though. I don't know.
They have things that they're going for example. Like, they're usually hunting you or whatever, and it feels like girls are kind of just like...
we know what you're going for.
I mean, yeah, but girls aren't going for anything. From my perspective, they seem like they're just going on the ride with you until, like, maybe college, when they start actually, like, figuring out what they want for themselves. At least that's what I picked up. I might be wrong, but it seems like girls aren't really even thinking about what they want out of it until...
I think that's fair. I think that's fair in college. At least for me. But, you know, like I said, I'm not really wild, so I think I had, like, I had expectations that people were, like, gonna treat me really nicely and, like, go on dates with me. Like, there was gonna be a sequential thing of how things happened. Mm-hmm. But boys, I mean, no offense to either one of you, but boys are literally trash when they're in their 20s. No offense to my boyfriend if he's listening to this right now, because he's never been a trash person in his entire life.
Hey.
But I used Tinder for a good 3 years, and I swear to you, so much trash.
I want to know about that too, because honestly, I don't understand how any girls use Tinder. Like, I know guys.
I'm not going to defend men, but I'll just tell you why guys do it.
You think I need an explanation?
I think specifically for Tinder. Like, I feel like...
Okay.
And by the way, I don't use any dating apps.
I do feel like guys are misunderstood. Anymore.
I did it for a month and I became that guy. Like, the guy that we just been talking about, that the men are trash in their 20s. I became that for a month. So I was... And it was different than who I am. So I was able to take a step back later after I got off all of that shit. It was like... It's gamification, bro. Like, Tinder, it turns it into a game. Like, and
do you want to know... You're gonna love this. The first person I ever matched with on Tinder, do you wanna guess who it was?
Would I know him?
Yeah, you know him.
Is it Sterling?
Yep.
Your boy!
Let's go!
It's your boy! Your boy Mike Lowry! Young Pascal!
Hear this.
Pascal!
Young Pascal! First on the scale.
I'm still friends with him. He's a great person.
Hey, you hear that, Sterling? You got the 5-star Yelp review, baby.
I heard it.
And you've never matched with them better.
Men are trash. So I just have to, like, you know,
yeah, because Sterl set the standard.
Okay.
And nobody lived up since. He's like, oh, I'm going to keep Tinder for a while. This is nice. And then disappointment.
Right.
I get it.
Tinder is a disappointment. That's for sure.
I think guys send messages with the intent of trying to actually start something romantic most of the time. It's just because they want to shoot their
pretend,
shot.
They'll pretend. And that's even worse.
Ah, because it gets quick results if you know what you're doing. Like,
that's garbage, though. Back to my point.
That's what happens.
It's garbage when, when you don't know what you're doing and you're not genuine. Because they're just copying people who are genuine.
But once you figure it out, like, guys love competition. Like, they love game. Like, I typically notice, like, in general, like, I feel like women care more about people and are so much more emotionally intelligent and care about the important things, like just like keeping people together. But guys get obsessed about things, and I've noticed that specifically for like sports or games in general. Like competition like drives us. So like once that happens, when you're like, yo, I was able to say this to a girl and was able to get this result, then guys just try to one up each other because they're childish at that time.
And oh yeah, they are. But you know what, you all grow out of it. It's okay.
We learn out of it. I don't think we grow out of it.
I'm not supposed to speak for all men, but yeah, I think we have, like us.
We learn out of it. Like you can easily go and wake up and you're 45 and you still have the same mindset if you don't do nothing about
for
it.
Sure.
Like you're not gonna grow out. Like it's all the same shit, especially
maturing.
With guys.
Yeah, and it's just about maturing. That's like a people thing. Like,
you gotta learn out of it.
It depends on when people learn out of it, but yeah, it's important to learn out of it.
Everyone needs to be on a dating app at one point in their life. It'll teach you a lot about other people and yourself.
Man, I think people should be just talking way more in person than they do now. I don't agree with you.
Because the dating apps, I like talking to people more.
Oh, yeah, I would love to talk about that.
Weird.
Oh, I don't know, though, about... I do agree, like, people should talk in person for sure. But also, I'm like... This is just from my own perspective. Okay. I'm kind of timid, so, like... When people would approach me at bars and try to talk to me, and I was clearly not interested because I think I'm good at, like, I can convey that I'm not interested. But when people, like, won't stop talking, I'm just like, I don't know how to be rude to you and basically tell you, like, get lost.
I would hate being a girl
and then
so
I'm just,
much.
Then oh, I just feel trapped.
Me. That's, as a guy, we need that. I think,
you do.
I think girls make this mistake all the time where girls try to do, like, the right thing to not hurt a guy's feeling as opposed to just telling him the truth of like how you feel immediately in that moment. Like even though it might hurt us, that will help us long term. Like
I don't think necessarily the goal is not to hurt us. It's because I've seen a lot of girls tell guys straight up like I'm not interested, and I've seen guys react in a scary way. If the girl doesn't know him, I don't know how to, like, I've seen guys approach girls in the nicest, most respectful ways, and then like they politely turn them down, and it's like, "Fuck you, bitch! I never want you anyway." And it's like it turns so scary, and you never know who's gonna react that way. So like, especially from a girl's perspective, for like, no disrespect, you look pretty, you're probably pretty strong, but for the most part, like, the guy that's approaching you is pretty much a bear. Like they're pretty much gonna be stronger than you, and like you.
For sure.
I get.
I think I'm a strong, independent woman, but I'm also 5 feet tall, so I'm not trying to piss people off.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Oh man, I'm so glad I'm not a girl.
No matter how tough I think I am, I'm not. Like, I'm just not. That's just like it's just a thing.
Yeah, like if I had to fight LeBron James on 1-on-1, like I'm gonna get my ass beat.
Come on.
That's just understanding who you are.
I think this is one of the main reasons why I got off Tinder too. Is like there was a long streak where I was going on. I'm not trying to brag if this is what fuck's happening. I don't think I should have been doing this either. I was going like 3 dates a week just off of Tinder and shit like that. And like it got
Nate, that's weak. I've been on more than one date in a day.
Okay, talk your shit. I respect that.
Dude, it's possible.
For sure.
Bro, if you get hot though on Tinder, just kinda like
get out of here.
Son.
It can happen. 2 dates in a day, you can do it. It's
I've
not
done
crazy.
It. I've done it.
Just because you're just hot that day. Like, you're just saying the right stuff that day. Or
100%.
You're swiping on the right people, which is fucked up.
I think I'm just like, I'm pretty good with words most of the time. So I would be like, I would go on like a lunch date or something, and then I would go out on a dinner date too. And look at that, I don't have to pay for food at all, and I get to go out twice. But.
I don't blame you.
But like, okay, I wouldn't go out on it. Like, I would have never gone out on a date with someone that I wasn't like genuinely interested in. But also, I'm gonna like
free food.
rat out some girl secrets right now.
Tell it.
Girls have rosters. Like, we have... Okay, let me just say this from the perspective of before. Like, I have a boyfriend now. I don't have a roster. I don't have anything that I'm talking about now.
Faithfulness.
But I had a roster. Like, I would talk to, like, 6 or 7 guys all at once. Like, oh, it was fine.
Okay,
was
so what do you think is backups. The length of the roster? Like, usually for, like, from, like, most girls, like, how deep do you think the roster is? Like, 5 deep usually?
Yeah. 5 probably. It's hard to keep track after that because you have like 5 people telling you. I know girls think that boys do this, but like girls do it too. So now you know.
You should.
It gets confusing. You can't talk to like
5 is a 5 is a lot.
You gotta keep it straight, right?
Yeah.
But like I said, and like you guys know, boys are trash. So you never know when one of them was gonna ghost you. That person was gonna have a girlfriend already. Like you never know.
If you got a 5-man roster, 3 of them got girlfriends.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
And that's why there's 5 of them.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Like, if you're going to keep guys who have girlfriends on the roster, like, why do you prefer
they don't. They get kicked off.
I don't think that she knows.
When you find out, they get kicked off.
Oh, but before you know.
I don't think she knows.
Oh, yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. You get kicked off.
Yeah.
But I'm also not like, oh, I'm going to go tell your girlfriend. Like, no, I'm just going to mess with you for a little bit because you're trash, too.
Nice. Good for you.
Okay, this makes a lot of sense. I'm learning so much.
I like that you said that because you say 5 people on a roster, and I hear that, and I feel so much stress because I know how stressful it is for a guy. I'm saying just for a guy just to juggle 5 girls, like 5 main girls on a roster, it's a lot because how much you got to put in, and they don't necessarily eliminate themselves the way that girls, like the way you're saying that, like 3 of them are going to eliminate themselves from like whatever, having a girlfriend, ghosting, whatever. We have to
girls
do that.
Girls are not trash, so we have to actually pay attention, yeah.
And we have to pay attention to everything that's going on, and it's like, that's so stressful for me. So like, my question, how is that juggling like multiple people like that, as from a girl's perspective? Is that stressful?
Is that not emotionally draining? Yeah.
Oh, I think my time that I spent on Tinder has like a very negative psychological effect on like who I am even now. But not because I had a roster, but because of the way men treated me. And like, it's not like I wanted to have a roster. No girl wants to have a roster. It's like... You're just trying to get to the right one, you know, and you got to kick people off the team and replace them until you get to the right one. It's an emotionally draining thing for sure because, you know, like, you'll be hanging out with someone and you'll really like them. And then, what the hell? They have a girlfriend? Like, where did you come from?
Oh, man.
Like, what?
Good for you, Kevin.
That would piss me off more than anything. Like, oh, you have a secret girlfriend? Thanks. Brilliant.
For me, I think men would see it otherwise, or maybe I would. I'd just be like, oh, I'm going to just take that dude out. Like, I'm going to become the top dog.
It's the competition.
I'm like, that's my girl now. Like, I bet you could tell me you have a boyfriend. That don't matter. Like,
no.
That never means anything to a guy. I'm sorry. It never does.
I know it doesn't because men are, back to my original point, men are trash.
Even the good ones, though. Even the good ones, it doesn't necessarily mean anything to them. They just don't want you to know that they think that way, because like they still want to like look, they still want to keep this image to you, but the best guys still don't necessarily care that you have a guy.
It's possible with every man, even the best of men. It's possible for all men, but
I don't know. I know some girls are gonna, if they're listening to this, they're gonna hear me say this and be like, you are so naive. But my boyfriend Evan, he is literally the most like innocent, loyal person I've ever met in my entire life. Like, I don't think girls even exist to him.
Wait, so how do you choose you then?
That's a good point. Okay. That's a good point.
I just got lucky.
You Wonder Woman.
My charisma. Obviously.
Talk your shit.
But really, I do think they're good guys out there. I know they exist.
100%.
Because, like,
I'm not saying they don't. Innocent people and like this good guys. It's at the end of the day, it's people.
I don't think they're all trash.
I think it's possible though for every man. I think there are good men that exist that do such a great job. They're such excellent human beings. They resist, I guess, those temptations and like those urges to just be a fuckboy. So we should salute them. Salute us. Ha! Cough. Salute.
What? What's your question?
Nothing. Even if they're suppressing it, and even if they're not acting on it, or they're choosing to be a better person, they're still resisting that original urge that all of us have.
As long as you resist.
As long as you recognize that.
As long as you don't act on it. Oh, I'm sure it's there. I'm sure it exists deep down.
It does.
But
I'm here to personally tell you.
You're here to tell me. It's okay. It's fine.